in terms of the framework that was proposed in the officer's recommendation, it sought to apply a delegated councillor to those groups that had a significant service agreement with the Shire of Denmark. So, for example, Denmark Arts get a three-year agreement, and so we said we'd have a councillor. The intent behind that within the report is that any other group could ask, you know, councillors to attend any meeting they want, and so that it was more, you know, less prescriptive but more open to anybody attending.
Got it. So it's to do with the fact that the CRC does not have a service agreement?
Correct.
Should. Thank you.
Oh. Yes, questions to...
Yeah, can I just ask that I believe we are going to discuss this, groups, if this could be added, please, to the list of groups to discuss, because Serena is right, we did used to have there, and also our contribution to the CRC is a whole building, so I think we have quite a vested interest in that group, so yeah, I'd like to see us discuss it as part of our whole discussion on all the other groups that we talked about today.
Yeah, as per the Councillor Phillips's motion, it'll be a concept forum on all that, on how we choose and activate and do all those groups. So it will be covered as part of that. If not, then it is a time to raise it.
Thank
Any
you.
Other questions for Serena? Nope. Again, thank you for your time. Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak? Okay, we will now move on to item 9.3.4, the draft places. Local government property law final adoption. We have two officers' recommendations. Are there any questions to officers and staff on these items? Do I have a mover for the Councillor Gibson? Do I have a seconder? Councillor Hockey, do you wish to speak to this motion?
Only to commend the staff, and I know there was a consultant involved as well, but it's a big task and very important to get right, so appreciate the effort involved. Thank you.
Councillor Hockey? Does anyone wish to speak against this officer's recommendation? Does anyone else wish to speak for it or speak to the item in general? No? Would you like to close your debate? Okay, in that case, we will put the officer's recommendation up to the vote. All those in favour of the officer's recommendation? It's passed unanimously. Okay, we now have the second 3.4B, officer recommendation. Does anyone have any questions pursuant particularly to this officer's recommendation to the staff? No, in which case do I have a mover for this officer's recommendation? Councillor Gibson. Second, Councillor Lewis. Would you wish to speak to this? No. Do you wish to speak to this? No. Does anyone wish to speak opposed, for, or in general? No. In which case, we'll now put it to the vote. All those in favour of the officer recommendation? That is passed unanimously. Now we will move on to the officer's recommendation 9.3.4C. Again, are there any questions pursuant to this recommendation for staff? No. Do I have a mover for this? Councillor Gibson. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Campbell, do you wish to speak for it? No. No. And does anyone wish to speak against this officer's recommendation, for or to? No. Then we'll put 9.3.4C up for a vote. All those in favour of this officer's recommendation? Councillor Sleeman, are you opposed? That is carried unanimously. Yeah. Okay, we will now move on to 9.3.5, review of delegations for 2025. Are there any questions to officers on this topic? No? Is there any statements around additional information you wish to make?
No.
No. Okay, we will now move on to the 9.3.5 officer's recommendation. Do I have a mover for this motion? Councillor Gibson, Councillor Lewis.
Sorry, I wanted to.
You had a question on specific to this?
Yeah, right. I'd like to, if possible,
yes,
split these delegations.
Okay. So split.
I'm happy to do the first two, but the third one I have questions on, possibly not supportive of.
Okay, are there any, especially, are there any questions you want to ask to staff? We had, hasn't been moved, didn't get second. Thank you. Okay, so yeah, firstly, is there any questions on it specifically to start with?
Yes, I guess on the 1.2.16, the tenders for goods and services, I was a little bit, I did ask some questions on notice, and I'm not quite understanding the response from the officer.
Through the chair, Councillor Lewis, if your intention is to amend the value that's been proposed in the attachment, the simplest way to do that would be to have the officer's recommendation moved and seconded, and then move an amendment saying something along the lines of subject to the tender delegation threshold being adjusted to whatever number. So if that's the intent, that would be the simplest way of going about it.
My intent would be to not raise it, though, so I'd just vote against it.
Through the chair.
Still do it.
I think the best thing to do would be to seek an amendment to the value that you are comfortable with. So if the officer's recommendation is moved and seconded, then you would be able to move an amendment to say subject to the delegation threshold being reduced to whatever you decide.
Thank you.
Okay, so in light of that, before we move us again for a mover of this item, are there any questions to officers on this item? No. Then on officers' recommendation 9.3.5, can I have someone who's moving to move? Councillor Gibson is there. Councillor Hockey, seconded. Would you like to speak to this?
No.
No. Councillor Hockey, would you like to speak to? No. Right. I believe there is an amendment.
Thank you. So I don't know how you want to word this, but I would keep the recommended value of the tender to 750.
Councillor Lewis, are you happy with that wording that's on the screen in front of you?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a seconder for this amendment? Councillor Phillips. I second the amendment. Councillor Lewis, you can now speak to the amendment.
Thank you. So we have had the additional information on this, which clarifies a few things, but as far as benchmarking is concerned, as the officer stated, regional shires typically adopt the statutory tender threshold of 250,000. Metropolitan councils and the City of Albany commonly set the CEO tender delegation limits to 1 million, with the City of Perth being an outlier with a significantly higher sum of 10 million. So I'm uncomfortable with raising this delegated amount to 1.5 million when we're then way above most regional shires. I think we have the ability to move quickly and have special meetings if council does need to okay a tender. I don't think we really need to have that, I suppose, abrogate our response, our financial responsibilities by passing this over to the CEO. So I would rather that we continue to do our job and made sure that we look through very carefully at the officer report when it comes to us on tenders and we make the decision if we're setting it above anything over the 750 current threshold, which is already higher than other regional shires. Thank you.
Councillor Phillips, do you wish to?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there anyone who wished to speak against the amendment? Yes, Councillor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm only just against it. I've got to admit, I'm almost on the fence here. I just struggle to see, you know, what do we do when we approve a tender at the moment that's over 750,000? Is what I'm asking myself. You know, the staff assess the tenders. They make a report to us showing the value that they apply to the different sections of the tender. They do a point score. It's a very objective and transparent process. What is our role is my question. In yes, we have financial oversight if we know, okay, that we've spent 1 million or 2 million, whatever the job might be. But are we going to interfere in the tender process and go, no, don't award it to contractor A? We think even though they're more expensive or they're less experienced, we want to give it to contractor B. I don't think that's where council should be. So I question the value of our role in term, apart from seeing what money is going to be spent, in engaging in deciding the tender process. And I've certainly seen in the past in other local governments where, you know, councillors have said, for example, oh, no, we shouldn't give it to them. His wife's just left him. They're going to go broke really soon. And oh, they did a really shit job on someone's road in the neighbouring shire. So, but, you know, that's not an objective assessment. That's not how these things should be decided. So if the money's in the budget, we've said you can spend this much on roads or on this project, and then the staff go out and do an objective assessment of the tenders and choose the best value and performance contractor to do it. Are we ever going to see that when it comes before us and go, no, or no, you should give it to the other guy? I don't think we should and probably never would, and so I question the value of it. That said, I do give weight to the fact that even the City of Albany has a $1 million limit, and it is our job to maintain financial oversight. So I am torn, but yeah, unless someone's got another good argument on balance, I'm probably inclined to vote against the amendment and support the staff to allow more efficient operations.
All right, is there any other councillors wishing to speak for the amendment? Is there any other councillors wishing to speak against the amendment? I will quickly just, I guess, to echo Councillor Gibson's words. I think a lot has changed in the last 5 years on the value of a project. And if we look at what a dollar amount is actually achieving, that these projects will fall into the road, road maintenance, road capital works side of the house. It won't affect the large projects. It won't affect the Berridge Parks, the likes of that. And I think that none of councillors, and in the past and in the future, there'll be very few chances where a councillor is qualified to actually really look into the crux of a technical tender for roads. However, I see on value in the larger projects where we see things from a community eye, a different point of view. So because of these, I see these, the value of these projects will be roads and infrastructure and technical tenders that I am opposed to this amendment. Would anyone else like to speak for the amendment? Opposed to the amendment? Would anyone else like to speak to the topic, to the amendment in general? Okay. Then I'll take it to the vote just for the amendment to be included or to be changed in the... Sorry. My bad. Yes, would you like to close your debate on...
Thank you. I would. Look, I think a lot of this is to do with trust, and I think we're all very feeling very comfortable right now with the staff that we have on board, and I have no problem whatsoever with the current staff, but things can change. And at the end of the day, it is our responsibility, not the staff's, to spend ratepayers' money. And so I think it's important that we have oversight of these major contract tenders. It's our job, basically. And if things change in the future with staff, we could really come unstuck on this. And it comes back to all the other shires that have much lesser values than 1.5 million. I just think there's a reason for that, and I haven't spoken to them to understand that, but I'm not sure why we have to be the lone shire going out there and increasing the value to 1.5 million, which is three times what most of them are, when the item could be brought to council pretty quickly for a decision from council. And it's our responsibility to make those decisions, not the officers. Thank you.
All right, now we will take this amendment to the vote. So all those in favour of including the amendment in the original officer's document, raise your hands. To all those opposed to including the amendment in the original officer's recommendation, raise your hand. So opposed is raised. Other way. Four. All right, we will now return to the original motion without amendment. We are now up to anyone who is opposed to the council, the officer's recommendation 9.3.5. All right, anyone else wish to speak in favour of it? Anyone else wish to speak to the motion in general? Yes.
Just to say, I will be voting against it because of this. I feel very strongly about this. My reason for voting against this substantive motion now is what I said before. Thank you.
Okay. You have spoken on the amendment, so you've forgone your chance for a closing statement. So, therefore, we will now put the original... No, because he spoke to the amendment, so he doesn't. I got one right. So we will now put the original unamended officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour is seven. Those opposed? Councillor Lewis, Councillor Phillips. On to 9.3.6, cooperative housing proposal. Are there any questions to executive or staff on this motion? Yes, Councillor Phillips.
Just a question around point number 16, control of tenancy within the cooperative housing model also encompasses clear provisions regarding eligibility for reduced rent, ensuring that priority is given to essential workers and other target groups identified in the development's objectives. But why would we give reduced rent to essential workers that are employed? They're not low income people. I just would like some explanation around that.
Through the chair, obviously the details of that would be worked through prior to a formal agreement being put in place. You know, if the funding was successful, we would work that through with council. So there'd always be a check and balance before any lease would be signed. So we can revisit that conversation at any time. This isn't giving away that, you know, that ability to have that conversation. I think in terms of, you know, in terms of numbers, so a aged care worker without being in housing stress can afford about $350 a week for rent. And even if you provided, you know, a 2x1 dwelling, the market value of that may well be well in above $350 a week. And so I guess that is in there as a comment to allow us to review the market at that, you know, at the time of signing the agreement and make some decisions around whether or whether they shouldn't have that reduced rent.
So will that be done by the executive or come to council?
The lease would have to go to council, and that's where we would stipulate the provisions.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? Yes, Councillor Slim.
Who decides who is an essential worker and what happens when they cease being an essential worker?
I think that's a negotiation still with council and Corporation Housing if this project gets up. Similar comments to Councillor Phillips. That'll be a negotiation through the lease process. And so council's views on that can be heard and worked through. In terms of, you know, the first question, what is an essential worker? I think council will be able to stipulate who they want to go into those buildings, what type of essential worker, whether that be aged care nurses or government, you know, workers, whatever that might be. And in terms of when somebody might be moved on as a result of not being that anymore, I think that's an important question and an important discussion that we would have to have before signing up to anything.
And a follow-on for low-paid workers, who decides that? And what happens when the low-paid worker is married to the dentist or to the farmer or to the Shire CEO and can easily afford a house through their partner's or spouse's income? Are they still eligible?
My understanding that in other corporation housing developments, that's not the case, and they look at the family income. So I think those sorts of things are covered off.
So I have another question.
Yes.
So Cooperation Housing has put this forward. Have we asked any other housing groups like Advanced Housing Limited or Amaru whether they have a proposal? Is there, you know, potentially more money to be made for the Shire through putting this out to a tender rather than accepting someone that just stepped up?
Through the chair, that's a good question. The answer is no, we haven't. We've only been working with Corporation Housing on this, and they're the only ones that are in a position to, I guess, apply for this round of funding. But if that was a desire to have a look elsewhere, then, you know, that's what we'd have to do.
Councillor Lewis? Question.
Yeah, thank you. I just need to formulate my question. It kind of goes to Mia Mia Housing Collective when some years ago they wanted status of not-for-profit, and up until then they were paying us rates, and then we were pretty much forced to do what we've been asked to do today, which is to forgo the rates because they're a not-for-profit charity, whatever their organisation is. But we've had no control over who's in that housing. We know nothing about what they're earning, who's living there, that sort of thing. And I suppose it comes back to Councillor Phillips' earlier question. How do we have some control over who goes into these houses? It also follows on from Councillor Sleeman's question. When these houses are built, we're losing rates, we're giving land over pretty much, although I understand there'd be a lease. But how can we be sure that the right people are in those houses, and what do we do if they no longer need that? So I'm not sure of the process and whether it's actually possible to do what you're asking or you're saying.
So the way that it would work from a technical perspective is that the lease would have special conditions that referred to a number of policies and management guidelines that Corporation Housing would have to adhere to meet their lease provisions. And within those policies and guidelines, which, you know, they have these drafted for various cooperative housing models that they have across the state already, but each one has its own set of, you know, bespoke conditions, and we'll be able to attach those to the lease to make sure that they adhere to the ones that council wanted.
Any, yes, Councillor Carroll.
I've got a few questions. Do we have an estimated timeline for deep sewer installation?
No, it's not being considered at all from Water Corp's perspective at this stage, with their focus being along Ocean Beach Road and down to Ocean Beach in their forward planning. And so even that, in terms of deep sewer infill and extension, is not has not been a government priority for a long, long time, but that would be their initial focus. And so this site would, at this stage, be after that. And so that would be a long time into the future.
If it was to be sooner than expected, we could have higher density development on that site?
Correct. That is, I guess, earmarked for that medium density development being a walkable catchment to the town centre. And, you know, that's what we would insist would be developed in this case, on half of it.
Okay. And if we were to go ahead with this development, will it require any community consultation?
Corporation Housing do a community design model for most of their projects, and so they would be engaging with the community to design that in conjunction with council.
Any further questions? No? Okay. Do I have a mover for this officer's recommendation? Councillor Gibson. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Yule. Do you wish to speak for the motion?
Thank you, Mr. President. Look, I acknowledge the concerns that have been raised around the table through the questions, and I share a lot of those concerns and want to be sure that if this comes to pass, that it is done to the benefit of those for whom it is being done. But I think the opportunity to see it done, assuming it will be done right, is a huge one that we shouldn't pass up. You know, we know we've had a housing crisis in Denmark, and we're not alone in that by any means, but we're certainly one of the, in my view, one of the towns throughout the state that has had some of the worst in terms of homelessness. You know, we have three times the percentage rate than Albany does, for example. So we know we have people and families in crisis. I see on social media all the time people desperate to find somewhere to live, even people who are employed full-time. And there was one today, someone living in a rooftop tent with his dog, even though he's full-time employed and will soon give that up because it's not working for the dog, and leave his employment in town. So I think you know, whilst this is only going to address a certain portion of the need, and I do believe it's appropriate to focus on that lower income side of things and essential workers, you know, every piece of housing stock that we can add, I think, helps to address the overall problem. It's land, obviously, that has no other planned use, and the way it's proposed to be designed does leave the bulk of the land free so that when sewer might ever arrive, we can then expand and have a far larger number of dwellings on that land. So I think it's well conceived, meets a very real need, and uses land that otherwise wouldn't be used probably for as far as we can see into the future. So I'm very happy to support it and hope that it comes to pass. Councillor Yule, do you wish to speak?
Just a brief note, I suppose, similar to Councillor Gibson, I think we'd be remiss to not proceed with this type of opportunity, albeit not necessarily a standard type of opportunity that councils or shires take up. I think it's, for want of a better way of putting it, as an opportunity too good to be missed, or at least have a crack at. So I'll be supporting it. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any councillor that wishes to speak against this proposal? Councillor Slim?
I think supplying affordable housing is incredibly important, particularly in Denmark. You know, I have a nurse with three children that is in housing stress and is struggling to find secure housing for her children. However, I don't think we should make hasty decisions which have long-term, you know, 50-year lease implications. Cooperation housing, I tried to find further information on it. There was not a lot of information available about it. We know it's a not-for-profit, and so it's exempt from rates, but that's about all I know about it. I know many other companies are not-for-profit. Councillor Gibson mentioned Amaru, who has a lot of very well-to-do people living in there, yet they don't pay rates. And so I think cooperative housing have come along and put a proposal to us, but we have a duty to look at what else could be done with that land and who else could provide a better solution to affordable housing on that land. Otherwise, we're locked in for 50 years for something that may not be in the best interests of our essential and low-paid workers. The proposal is light on details. There's no definitions of what is a low-paid or essential worker, what happens when those circumstances change over time. And so I have a lot of questions around that which I haven't had addressed adequately. And finally, we all know the way to get a sale, so to speak, is to apply a time pressure to it. You know, the sale's closing soon, you've got to get in quick. And I see that that's what's happened here. I read that this proposal has been talked about for months, and yet we're in a position where we have to make a decision at this meeting or it's not going to go ahead. That's a sales pressure tactic in my eyes that I won't be falling for. And so, yeah, there's too many questions about this proposal that haven't been answered. And I'm not convinced by the fact that they're a not-for-profit, because we know of lots of other organisations that are not-for-profits, which are turning good profits. Thank you.
Okay, is there any councillor that wishes to speak for this item? Councillor Phillips.
I think that, you know, the issue that we have with essential worker housing is one that we've had for a very long time. And what really started this discussion off in a big way was a few years, and I can't tell you what year it was, when the high school had trouble with staffing, couldn't get staff there because there was nowhere for people to live. So it's been a long process to try and get some housing here for essential workers. And I think for that reason, I'll have to support this application.
Is there a councillor that wishes to speak against the motion? Is there another councillor that wishes to speak for the motion? Is there anyone who wants to speak in general to the motion? No? Councillor Gibson, would you like to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. Look, I acknowledge the concerns Councillor Sleeman raised. I guess in my previous role within council, I've been exposed to discussions around trying to get engagement from different groups that might look to build this sort of housing, and I know it hasn't been easy, so my judgment is there's not a line of would-be developers that if we just put out a request for tender, we'd find a keenness. I think we've had to work quite hard, not only to identify land, but also to find organisations that are willing to partner in this sort of project. And a lot of the time that's because of the development costs in Denmark, and there are almost always more affordable places that they can provide housing, and the need for housing is pretty widespread. So they go where they can deliver more housing for the same sort of money. So I'm very reluctant to turn this proposal down. I think ultimately, in terms of the Shire's position, yes, it's potentially 50 years, but you know, those properties will be very well maintained for that 50 years, and there will be a council 50 years from now looking to inherit 20 plus houses, if not a whole heap more, if the sewer has come through by then. And I think that leaves our community in a very good space, very far into the future, I admit. So I'm not concerned that it's a dud deal for the community or for the Shire and the council. I think it's a very good one, in fact. And probably lastly, and I was remiss in my first comments not to acknowledge the efforts of the staff, because a couple of years ago, I think it was, we changed our policy on this to allow a more active pursuit of housing options for the community. But there's no way that made that the Shire's core business. And so for our CEO and other officers to make the time to pursue these opportunities, I think is really great. And if we can, and it's not over the line yet, but if we can help to bring another one to fruition, I think it's really worthwhile. And I thank the staff for finding the time and making the effort to try to create this opportunity.
Okay, we'll now put item 9.3.6 to the vote. All those in favour of the officer recommendation, put your hand up. That is 8-9. All those opposed? No. All right, we'll now move on to item 4.1. There's a declaration of interest. I'll let the CEO read that now.
Thank you. So this is Councillor Wiggins, 9.4.1, Bushfire Risk Management Plan. That's an impartiality interest, as his wife is the author of the report.
Okay, is there any questions to officers on this item? No, in which case, do I have a mover for item 9.4.1? Councillor Hockey, second. Councillor Yule, do you wish to speak for Councillor Hockey? Okay, we have a live motion. I believe we have an amendment. Councillor Campbell, if you could read out your amendment. Sorry, that's a lot.
You might just put it up on the screen. Just check that's the correct one.
Yeah, can you just check that the one up on the screen is the correct
writing? Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
To the CEO? Because we did have a discussion about a slightly revised version of that, but I had a question for you on the revised version. The change was about during the council plan review, the first few words changed during council plan review. So did you mean like that would occur annually, like in 2026?
Through the chair, the council plan is now reviewed every 2 years, and okay. I think we did it this year, so it would be 27.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'd probably stick with the original version then. So during the life of the BRMP, the Shire will explore emerging technologies that may enhance bushfire detection, monitoring and response, and will work with BFAC and LEMC and the Mitigation Working Group to assess their suitability and readiness for future adoption. Proactive consideration of these tools will help ensure the Shire is ready to take advantage of funding or partnership opportunities and can strengthen community safety as new technologies become viable.
Okay. Does any councillor have questions to Councillor Campbell about or clarification about her proposed amendment. Does any councillors have questions to staff about the proposed amendment? I will ask one. I'd like the CEO to comment on the, do we have the current resourcing to fulfil those amendments?
I guess my comment would be that it's an additional commitment to do that, the way that it's worded. And, you know, we currently have a council plan that's pretty much fully allocated with staff resources, so we would have to look at finding a way of resourcing this, depending on what extent it would end up being.
Any other questions to officers? No? All right. Is there a seconder for this amendment? Councillor Lewis, we now have a live amendment. Do you wish to speak to the amendment?
Thank you. Just to be clear, I really just wanted us to include this statement in the future directions section of the plan to acknowledge that there are emerging technologies and it's happening pretty fast in that space. So that's my concern with not coming back to this within 2 years. We're not committing to implementation. It's simply committing to exploring options to resource this during the life of the plan, so that we can stay ahead of risk and I guess be ready for any funding opportunities. It's signalling proactive leadership on this space, and I don't think we should sit back and wait for the state government to drag its feet on this. So in terms of resourcing, I understand that, but we do have a bushfire mitigation officer, and I would see simply exploring emerging technologies is potentially just falling into their job description. And I guess if it becomes too onerous, then it's something that can be at least discussed with BFAC to have members exploring and then come back to us with resources required to actually take it further or look at funding applications or implementation. So I don't see this statement as it stands as particularly onerous in terms of resources. It's really just capturing that intent to be proactive about exploring these technologies. And I think it would be great to have that in writing in our plan for the next 2 years.
Councillor Lewis?
Yes, thank you. Just to add that I really think this is something our community want us to be proactive in. They've made that very clear on numerous occasions, that they want us to be aware of new technology. And as Councillor Campbell says, this just really highlights it. We are one of the most at-risk shires in the state, and I think it would be useful to have this in there, particularly if there are emerging technologies and people looking to trial various things. If we've got it in our plan, then they're going to see that and say, well, yeah, let's go to the Shire of Denmark. You know, they're open to it. They're willing to trial something. So I think it can only be a good thing to include this in the plan.
All right. Is there any councillors that wish to speak against this amendment? I will. So I believe the BRNP is a document stating to state government what we are doing now as a shire and as a councillor. It is a two-year document that has been put together through conjunction with LEMC, BFAC, the Mitigation Working Group, and has gone through all those aspects already and has been approved. I think that even a statement like this, saying things that we are not doing currently, that we are not resourced for, and I believe we are not qualified to do the exploration assessment to be that forefront of of that industry within a shire of 6,500 people, no matter how high our fire risk is, that this shouldn't be included, having not gone through those other elements first and thrown it, put it at the end. I think what it will do is, in certain areas of the community, like with a number of other documents have in the past, create the expectation that we are doing that and create extra work, onerous, resource intensive, even just to when the community members were not meeting their expectation or their interpretation of this. I think the VRMP should stay with what we are doing to state government so that it is functional and understood for the next 2 years. It does not preclude us if the opportunity for someone to do a trial in our area to do it, but it doesn't put us at the forefront of experimenting with technologies that we are not qualified to do. And that's all I've got to say. Anyone else that wishes to speak for it? The amendment? Against the amendment? Paul?
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't see this amendment in the same way as you, Mr. President. I don't think it's pushing us to the forefront. I think it's saying we've got an open door to these technologies as they emerge over the next 2 years. And look, through having been involved with both BFAC and LEMC, my view is that the development of this document that included those groups, it wasn't structured in a way that would bring out this sort of thing, although I know there are members, particularly of BFAC, who, having been to recent conferences in Perth, came back very excited at the possibilities for particularly early detection using these modern technologies, and we're keen to see them evolve. But the way the workshops that I was involved with were structured didn't really lend themselves to this sort of possibility being included in the VRMP. Fundamentally, I think Councillor Campbell's amendment says, well, there's an open door here if somebody wants to come through it. I don't believe it's implying any sort of onerous workload on officers, but I think it's sending a signal that we are open to new technology, and I hope we are in all aspects of shire operations. And that if a possibility arises, especially with some of the companies looking to develop or test their technologies, that it does put us at the forefront. And I share Councillor Lewis's view that would be well received by our community, that they would like to know that we're interested in alternative ways to detect, control and manage fire risk in a very high-risk local government area.
Does anyone else wish to speak against the amendment? To the amendment? No? We'll put it for a vote. All those in favour of Councillor Canva's... God, I forget that each time. Yes, please, you close
it. That's all right. I guess I just wanted to highlight again that the title of this section is Future Directions and Emerging Technologies. I just comment on the document as a whole in relation to this, and I think I mentioned at the briefing that it was very positive to see that the document really acknowledged perhaps a shift in our community in terms of the level of risk we're willing to accept in order to protect the environment. And something else that came through really strongly in that community consultation is that maybe we can accept that risk because looking forward, there's going to be alternatives in terms of early detection and mitigation. So I just feel like we just have to be a step ahead of that, not waiting for it to happen. That's all.
Okay. We will now put it to the vote. So all those in favour, including Councillor Campbell's amendment in the original officer recommendation, raise your hand. All those opposed? All right, we'll now continue debate on the original officer's recommendation with the amendment included. So we're now up to, is there anyone opposed to speak? No? Does anyone else wish to speak for the officer's recommendation amendment? Does anyone want to speak in general to it? No. Councillor Hockey, would you like to say anything in closing?
I'd just like to thank the staff for the work that they've put into it. Good job. Thank you.
Okay, we'll now put it to the vote for the BR, item 9.4.1 with the amendment in. All those in favour? No one? Unanimous. We will now move on to Youth Action Plan. There is one declaration of interest in this. I'll now let the CEO to read it out.
Thank you. That's Councillor Wiggins, 9.4.2 Youth Action Plan. That's an impartiality interest, as his wife is the author of the report.
All right, is there any questions to officers on this item? Yes, Councillor Phillips.
Look, I just wanted a little clarification about one area in this plan, and it's the focus area, places and activities. And what it actually says is fund through community through the community grants program, programs that offer low cost or free activities and events for young people, including non-sport related activities. Now, our community grants program is a competitive process. And as such, I don't think the community grants program should be cited as appropriate to fund offerings in the youth strategies, as I believe it gives the idea of an unfair advantage and an expectation for guaranteed funding from something that should remain a competitive process. And, you know, I think that's what's implied in that particular section of the plan.
There's the question.
So the question is that why have we got a comment in our youth plan that says it will be funded through community grants program when the community grants program is a competitive program?
Essentially, we have a community contributions policy, and it, you know, goes across the whole suite of things that we do at the Shire and the nature of people and demographics we have in the Shire. And so, you know, seniors are important, youth are important, there's a lot of demographics that are very important in our Shire. And so to go through a competitive, fair process to award funding for initiatives, I think, is the appropriate thing to do.
But that's not what's being implied here. This states that we'll fund through the community grants program. It states that the funding will come from the community grants program.
Through the chair, and it will if they're successful with a funding application through that program.
Are there any other questions? That one might end up being an amendment. Yes, Councillor Davenport.
I just had a question on page 17 in the second paragraph down there. It says ongoing youth advisory groups can have their benefits that are resource intense and that. So when we were at our workshop here, that was something that brought up in the Albany Shire, I believe had a program that they were initiating there with, like, as such a junior council. I'm just wondering why that wasn't, incorporated in this plan as a good idea, or has there been additional research around that, or what's the guts?
Through the chair. Our community development officer reached out to all of the community development officers in the Great Southern to see what was happening in this space and what was successful and what wasn't successful. And what emerged is that formal youth committee, or whatever that form takes, has a very low participation rate because it doesn't really become meaningful, and nobody has ever really successfully implemented one that is meaningful. And so it has low engagement. And so the proposal here and the nature of the comments in the report is that we should be doing meaningful engagement with our youth, and given our resourcing and our ability to do that, it should be project specific so that it can be meaningful. And by establishing a committee that meets once every 2 months, stops being meaningful, and that's the feedback we got.
Further questions?
I just got another question as well around the focus area two, the wellbeing and belonging. I believe as the Shire got funding to run like a mental health program, and I'm just wondering why that's not included in this document, because is that not meant to be run out over the next 3 years?
Through the chair, there is one in the plan that talks about the outreach program, and that is the money, the cash contribution that the Shire makes towards ASA to deliver outreach programs for at-risk youth. That program's been running for a number of years, and it's supported by the Department of Communities. In conjunction with that, the Denmark Community Foundation are doing a lot of work with Headspace, and they've got funding to actually roll out a much more broader program. And so that isn't in this plan because it's not the Shire, it's the Denmark Community Foundation. But the Shire will continue to commit the funding for the outreach program.
Thank you.
Further questions? Yes, Councillor Rose.
Just on the top of page 25 of the plan, I thought it was a word I'd never come across before, but I think it should read, this is an, instead of the words, the letters all being joined together. So I just wanted to point out that probably needs correcting.
Through the chair, thank you.
Any other questions to, yes, Councillor Campbell.
I know the plan's got the implementation matrix, but how are we going to ensure, how is any progress going to be measured each year across all those areas?
Through the chair, these things will form in the council plan if they don't already, and therefore that their reporting mechanism will be through the annual report on how we've met those.
Okay. And is there a plan to report back annually to the young people, given that they, you know, there was an appetite for feedback?
I'd have to take that one on notice, but I'm confident that we can find a way to do that.
I guess I'm always wary of when we put advocacy in as an action. I'm just wondering in terms of transport, if there were any specific ideas on how the Shire was going to advocate for improved transport.
Through the chair, I'd probably have to take that one on notice as well.
One more. Given that there was a strong call from young people for a swimming pool, will the Shire explore any interim lower cost alternatives or potential transport arrangements to improve young people's access to the pool in Albany?
Through the chair, it probably is incorporated into a response to the question previously in terms of low-cost transport options. In terms of the physical construction of a pool, you know, the current recommendation of council is to not deal with that until population threshold is reached, and so there's no intent to move anything on a swimming pool.
Thank you.
Further questions to officers? No. In which case, is there a mover for item 9.4.2? Councillor Davenport, seconder. Councillor Yule, you should speak on it. Councillor Davenport.
I'm glad to see this is finally here. It's taken a long time. It's been a little bit of a rocky road, and I think, you know, the Shire's learned a fair bit through this. I'd like to say thank you to the staff that have stepped in at the end and helped deliver this. I suppose this brings concerns to me around stuff I've had in the past with consultants being hired for our Shire. I don't believe the consultant did an overly fantastic